Discover new mind and body hacks to thrive as a human today. The Institute for Aliveness is here to teach you all the things you never learned in school. From talking poop, sex, childhood trauma, emotional intelligence, psychedelics, and of course, fasting and food. The graduates of this institute now steward the decentralized autonomous organization of TIFA. Join them as they share their journeys and host the most impactful and fun humans for you to learn from.
Hello, dear listener. Welcome to a very special episode of the Live for Vitality podcast. We have Jennifer Pipolo back with us today, TIFA faculty, trauma-informed coach, spiritual guide, performer, and generally an all-round consciousness booster. She's back with us for a very beautiful conversation, touching on pleasure, life and death force, mastery, and what it means to deeply attune to each other in this ongoing journey into embodiment. We hope you take away lots of lovely little lessons, dear listener, because she is a special one. Thank you. Welcome, Jenny, to this new episode of the Vitality Podcast. It's such a pleasure to have you back again. Last time you had come and had a conversation with Andy, was in 2022. Mm. Yeah, and so deeply grateful to have you in this space again and to come share your wisdom and experience with us.
Yeah, thank you for having me, and thank you for hosting it and having given to the podcast your energy and your light. This is beautiful to see you in this.
Such a pleasure. It's such an ongoing pleasure. And speaking of pleasure, maybe that's it's a topic that's dear to both of our hearts. And I think, as you know, as we touch into a new chapter with the Institute for Aliveness, I think the theme that keeps coming back to me over and over again in my life is this one of pleasure, and how sometimes I have to strive for pleasure, you know, and I have to make space for pleasure. I have to welcome pleasure in, and it's such a conscious effort, you know. And I know that we had explored this over this past couple of years, and I think more so than anyone else, really, I think I would love to hear you speak into this the role of pleasure in your life, perhaps, and from there we'll go into whatever wants to emerge.
Yes, fantastic to start with pleasure. That is like my dear friend and my companion, my teacher. And I've been pushed onto pleasure in the middle of my journey, after healing, after opening up, after going so much deep into pain and trauma and dissecting it, analyzing it, feeling it, sensing it. And in that path, I started to come more and more to the knowledge on how pleasure started to arise in my body and in my openings and in my discoverings. And so I was slowly drawn more and more into through pleasure, and I realized only later that it was that kind of liberating sensation, that kind of yummy feeling that started to arise and push me more into sensing, feeling, opening, trusting. And so it's been a path that I wasn't aware of for a long time. It just felt good, you know. And every time I liberated something, there was this good and yummy feeling. And then then I started to understand, and life started to bring me opportunities to know more on how we really function. And I started to receive the information that was always there, I think, around us. Life works firstly through pleasure. I am now deeply a believer of that. I feel and think and believe that when the universe was created, there was a ripple of orgasmic energy. When anything is birthed and created, and not only in the big moment of creation, but also in the tiny little steps of evolution, there's always a pleasure sensation, either in the body or in, I mean, even if you see a dog, I was walking with a dog this morning, the opening up to the day, the opening up to the flowers that are here now so beautifully giving its scent, there was this pleasure. There's this pleasure that is so natural for every other natural human being, that natural being, and that we have somehow been primed for thousands of years to withdraw from in a certain way. And so it has been a rediscovery of pleasure for me. And the more I rediscovered that, the more it went into all arenas, like more sexual, but even the yummy and gusto of feeling a wind on my soft skin when I'm walking. And then when I was ripe, when my fruit was ripe, I started to receive also the teachings of various traditions that were speaking about how when we unite with ourselves, how when we come together and are more and more present, we are taught through pleasure, and that until we are separated, until we are in a relationship with life that is not in harmony, we learn through pain. So I had one of my teachers always saying, like, pain and suffering is a great teacher because it pushes you to awaken until you start to turn around your perception of reality. And all of a sudden, you go towards opening, you go towards healing, you put less and less resistance because you are inviting that space inside of you and jumping into the unknown. And through that jumping into the unknown, you don't resist, and the change happens automatically. And so that is pleasurable. So that's been my journey. And then I've received also the understanding that we are now at a threshold as human beings, as humanity. And this threshold is really one that will teach us to grow through pleasure and not pain anymore. Like I deeply believe that the cycle of pain is coming to an end. And I remember years ago when I was studying this, I was, I received the information about how babies really grow. Like even in the first weeks of opening up their eyes and opening up their body to a mother, to a world. And these studies showed very specifically that the baby is following the pleasure. And the more the pleasure is there, the more the brain can easily memorize and hold the information. Babies primed through anxiety or difficulty or coercion, their brain doesn't develop at the same rate and at the same neuroplasticity as that of those that have had that sense of relaxation, opening, harmony in their interactions. And so that's what we are primed for. And I feel that we're arriving there.
Thanks so much, Jenny. That was already so rich. And continuing from what you just spoke into, you know, for those of us that weren't primed into pleasure, you know, that perhaps our brains are more wired into anxiety or dysregulation, you know, what could a journey into pleasure look like?
I would first and foremost start from acknowledging that those sensations that are still somehow uncomfortable that these persons might, these beings might have in their system can be interesting and can be, once felt, start to let new sensations arise. So, what happens when we have a contraction, a tension, and anxiety in our system, and our nervous system is primed for that, our basic survival mechanism wants to flee from that and doesn't want us to feel that kind of sensation. So that's what we all have, at some degree, we have to face, that there is a fleeing from uncomfortable situations, which is, I mean, it's just fantastic system we have. So it's can thank that we have this safety net inside of us and our nervous system. But strangely so, to get to dissolve these sensations and these imprints of suffering at some level, the counterintuitive movement needs to be done. So it needs to be a movement towards those sensations instead of fleeing and disconnecting from them. And strangely so, when we do that, these sensations change and start to become more and more pleasurable, more and more. At the beginning, they become bearable. And at the beginning, there is a sense of freeing that once we start to sense, let's say, we have a deep anxiety in our chest and we have an inkling of contraction in our belly when we feel that disconnect, when we feel that tension in our chest. When we go towards that, like really sitting with that, what happens is that something in our body relaxes. Something in our body starts to shift that energetic, starts to shift that sensational or protocol, let's say, that we have kept inside. And this change is very exhilarating in our system because it creates movement, which is what we would love to have always in our system, deep down inside. And once we have the capacity to become present to that and start to feel that, it is starting to become pleasurable. And then we prime and we start to recognize in our nervous system that sensation again and again if we allow ourselves to do that. And this very quite quickly, I would say, it reorganizes our nervous system. And my path has been that I was drawn more and more into those sensations because it was, yeah, it was such a pleasurable feeling. And whenever I would remember at the beginning, one of the difficulties is to our withdrawal has like it, there it, in the traditions that I know of, it's like it's called the silent forgetter. We forget to stay with that. We don't want to face that sensations, but once we start to do that, it becomes softer and softer and softer. And so the way to pleasure is opened. And that anxiety at the beginning doesn't make us so afraid anymore. It's not so terrifying. And we start to imprime also that we can do it, that there is a solution, that we are not impotent. But that there is a power inside of us that just awaits to be, put into practice.
Yeah, it's what you speak into is so absolutely relevant and speaks to me so deeply, Jenny, because I think I woke up this morning, and I'll give you a little personal anecdote of of exactly what you just spoke into. And we've been working, you've been really working deeply with me for almost a year and a half, 2 years now. So you've seen me through this journey of, from disembodiment into embodiment slowly, 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 you know, from a very primed and active nervous system to one that's just really blossomed and open to pleasure. And then that journey, of course, of being human, of being back and forth between the two states and realizing that actually, you know, the dance is the game, that that is this life, you know, there's no there's no end goal of this perfect perfect state of bliss and prime pleasure that somehow some part of me always hopes for and is constantly surprised that that doesn't happen and I forget and life is painful sometimes. And this morning, you know, I woke up and it's this feeling as normally does in the patterning in my body of shame, of inadequacy, of this deep discomfort with just being here in this life, you know, and this sense, the sensation of wanting to flee, like you just spoke into, you know, and it comes for me as thoughts in my head, as like I'm suddenly just up here and I'm not in my body anymore. I don't hear very well. I don't see colors very well. I'm just thinking. And this morning I woke up and it was the same story that was running in my head again. And it felt so deeply uncomfortable. And I was like, what is the point of living this life? You know, I have to sit with this. This is going to kill me. And once that thought came, I was like, hey, wait a minute. There's nowhere to run here. There is no next life that's going to be better than this life or whatever this is. And the moment that reminder came, all of a sudden, I was like, okay, let me go into my body because there's something here that clearly feeling very dangerous to feel, and that's that feeling of this contraction in my stomach that normally for me points to that feeling of inadequacy. You know, that sense of just not good enough for this life. And then once I started feeling it, all of a sudden it was like I woke up and I was like, I could live my life again. You know, I was in this heavy energy for 3-4 days. And these things for me are not spontaneous. They don't instantly come as like, ah, this is what I need to be feeling. Oftentimes it's a journey. And I realized, ah, actually in this journey, I've become more and more disconnected from my body. So let me consciously go back and see. And that seems to be now the role of pleasure, is that when I come back into my body and I'm ready to see that uncomfortable sensation and feel it, which it's nothing. The fear that I have to feel that sensation is so much more than the actual sensation itself, which is just a very brief contraction, you know, and it's just sitting in that for those whatever period of time. And this morning it was a few minutes, and all of a sudden it was like life force was moving through my body again. And suddenly I was on the trampoline, I was on the drum, I was singing, and I could feel creative and joyous and tremendously alive again. And at the same time, deeply hold in the shame of whatever it is that I said or did yesterday that felt deeply out of alignment. And yet it is only after I feel it that I can feel life again too. So that seems to be
fantastic. Yeah, I love how you express it. I mean, I've seen your journey, and it's just so refreshing how you express it. And I love how you can see life again, you can feel life, and how the life force energy starts to move, and all of a sudden, I'm still discovering every day, because there's so many nuances to this, but it's a more intimate relationship that life wants to have with me. And so through that meeting of that pain or that shame, what usually happens in my system is that there's like a slight new angle also physically that I hadn't discovered, or a way of how I breathe, or after I sense that disconnected sensation at some level. All of a sudden, there's a new nuance that comes in, physically speaking, that is pleasurable. And it's like a new invitation to feel life. That's how I come up with now, because what you just said, and to let that life force energy open up my system. And all of a sudden I'm connected again, and we're connected, and our creative life spark flows out and comes. And I beautifully, how you say you were at the drum and singing, and all of a sudden that force, we are in connection with the force. We become that force. And it pours out. We're not there doing our stuff. It just overflows. And that relationship with that overflowing, with that knowledge of there's so many different ways on how life force energy flows and how that pleasure takes over. That is, I think that's the mastery. I'm, you know, like, I was, yeah. I saw a friend of mine. She's leading a sweat lodge in a few days. And I will tend the fire. So giving the fire for that sweat lodge. And she was, you know, the intent is, what will you want to be remembered for? I don't know why it comes up, but for sure, the mastery of that life force energy is something that I just comes as pouring out here right now. But that really, that space there, that encounter there with life, that opening up on how it wants to express itself, that mastery, I think that is like how the universe, the divine, wants to express again and again and again through our vessel that we are, because we are and have a vessel. At the same time, we are so connected to the rest once we are in that flow. And there's magic happening.
Beautiful, Jenny. Mastery of life force. Yeah, so gracefully put, Jenny. And I guess that is really the work of what it means to be human in this moment of time. It is to become the master of this life force that's guiding us through this evolutionary journey, I imagine. Yeah, I'm curious, you know, in your journey now, and you've had your, I imagine your share of life medicine handed to you for this, precisely this learning of this mastery. Yeah, what do you see, you know, given these themes of pleasure, life force, mastery, creative energy, like what's, and you already spoke into this, the sensing into this is what is next for humanity, this this increased capacity to tap into pleasure as a way to progress, you know. Can you speak a bit more into that, whatever's alive there?
Yeah, my experience right now is showing me that the more life force energy we're able to freely let run in our system, the more we are present, as we were saying before, the more our senses become very alive. So we blossom in creation because we can receive much more information from creation. We are starting to become more and more connected to the different layers that we are made for, of. And so what happens there, it is like a drawing into that direction, because it's where I feel we need to source our next steps as human beings. So the more we are alive, we would say, the more we can feel what aliveness is teaching us about nature, about humanity itself, and about the next steps. And also, it is a way of raising our vibration to a higher frequency, as is often said. And in that sense, tapping into deeper layers of our own psyche, of our own mystery. And I believe that we have to find there, the source of all answers. And it brings us to a deeper perception of the interconnectivity of all of nature and us in it. And so it is with unfolding of ourselves as a human family that can happen through that coming together with that life force energy and letting it teach us how we want to thrive and arise to our new capacities that are still dormant in our systems. So it's about raking up even more of our nervous system, of our body, of our capacity to perceive the whole that is going to show us ways on how we can relate differently and perceive ourselves and each other's differently on a deeper, deeper level, and so that we can see and really not only witness but experience the interconnection and the grace that is all around us. So, and I also have a sense that we are birthing us on multidimensional ways. So we are present more and more in different levels of our being. And what we see happening outside on a more technological way is in fact a need, a necessity, a drive that we have internally. And if we focus on that, rather than externalizing through a material means, we can only discover incredible beauty, incredible facets of the mystery that life is, and in that find solutions that we can only dream of, find new ways to express ourselves, find new ways to come together as a human family. I believe that all the answers are there. We just need to uncover them. And we need to do that through coming to terms with what we really are. And it's so, so much more than we've ever even dreamed of. There's so many layers that we need. We are just slowly, some of us, tapping into. And the potential is like infinite. And life force energy is like the wave on which to ride. Like in ancient traditions, it's called the stream of livingness. So if we are surrendering to that stream, we are becoming one with that, and in that we are discovering its wholeness. And so it's not that we are erased. We are uplifted, I would say. We are uplifted and come to greater capacity, also embodied capacity, concrete, practical way to fine-tune to what is really going on and how to make it more useful in an everyday basis.
What you speak into that, you know, the what I'm finding is that this capacity to tap into life force, for me, this potential, this human potential that you know, is deeply actually aligned with the movement of technology. Even, you know, the growth of that mirrors in the growth of the human potential simultaneously too. And at the same time, you know, I speak for myself, but I'm not alone in this, and I'm sure you've experienced it too. In those threshold moments where you are face to face with your potential, you know, or with the capacity of whatever it is that you're almost stepping into to fully bloom, I am terrified, you know, that moment or that threshold moment of creation of that potential of whatever it is of life, you know, brings in it for me a very, very deep, almost primal fear of this feeling of, if I cross this, if I go into this moment and I tap into this potential, something in me will die, you know? And that is debilitating sometimes in those moments when I don't actually know how to ground that fear, you know? And I'm sure this is not something that I'm alone in feeling. And I would, I'm curious, yeah, how, what is your story with that?
It's a beautiful question. And everybody of us has felt that and is feeling that again and again. And my story with that, and it's a story, my experience with that, and I might change that in a few years or months from now, is that I have a possibility, again, by not running away, to sense something that is even more showing me, revealing me, what is really going on with us and what we really are. And I say theoretically, I would say that that part of us that dies is that egoic part that has identified for a moment or a lifetime or 3 months into something and now opens up to a new, in that threshold, to something new. And yeah, I mean, I have seen the value of many, many wisdom traditions that teach us to learn to die when we are conscious and when before we come to the moment of death itself. And having had the possibility to go through that process again and again and again through ceremony and through different teachings and experiences in life, I have found more and more, I can only say the word peace, that has started to install itself in my system. And at the same time, as the same modality that I was describing before, where you start to sense that sensation of anxiety, and all of a sudden it's like, phew, it's just a small thing. Small sensation, then all of a sudden it's like away. The same has gone for me for that threshold of terror of non-existence and death. And I have had experiences for in prolonged ceremony where I've encountered death as the most beautiful and loving and warm sensation, physically embodying that sensation. And it was long ceremonies that I had to undergo quite extreme, let's say, practices to come to that threshold. And yeah, that's been an eye opener and has taught me so much. And I only can cherish that. And I, you know, I strive for those moments now. I mean, it's not that in the minute before I don't feel that same thing when I come to that threshold, but I strive for those moments. I can't wait to feel that release, to feel that discovery again and again that I have felt in my body now quite a few times. And I feel that that's what the ancients were wanted to teach us, and come and learn to be so conscious in that moment, to welcome your whole being, your whole system, your whole being, your whole experience, your whole sensations, your whole thoughts, your whole emotions. You can be so present and so accepting and open and witnessing that all of a sudden there's this huge shift of consciousness where you are back into the wave. You're release yourself of being a particle and you step back into being the wave. And where you perceive that you are a wave of energy and not a particle. And we are both, from my understanding. Sometimes we identify with a particle, with my body, with me, with how I look and what I do in life. And sometimes if I have the fortune to go into this path and dive deep enough, I become the wave and I'm one with all. And I still have a name that somebody would give me if they would see me from the outside. But I just be, and I'm just amming. I'm just amming with that whateverness that wants to unfold. And that is so exhilarating, so pleasurable, so magical. So, and I always felt those moments as so right. It's like I all of a sudden blasted open to the mastery of creation that has somehow, it's the great architecture of how everything is unfolding, and there's synchronicities where everything makes sense. All our trajectory, all my trajectory in those moments makes sense. And I understand from a much higher place why everything has happened, how and for what reason. And that's my understanding of coming very near to the truth, which is not the ultimate truth. I'm sure I will discover even deeper and deeper, deeper layers. But for sure, it feels very truthful in those moments. Yeah.
Well, thank you so much for sharing that. I hear in that sense of to meet life deeply. You've had the privilege and also the courage to meet death deeply, and I guess it's very hard to separate the two. And I remember hearing a friend say this, you know, when I was in a moment with him, and I said, look, I very deeply fear Eros right now. I fear this moment of stepping into whatever it is in this potential. And he reflected back to me, you know, one is able to hold as much Eros and life force as one is able to meet the death force, really. And it really, it allowed me to sink into that a bit deeper, because every time I think, I'm meeting death, I realize, and this is what we've been speaking into, that this is such a journey. It's a back and forth, and in every moment, I guess, we get that opportunity to really meet with life and death. And I think I want to really emphasize for the listener who probably already knows it themselves, that, but I know I needed to hear it multiple times, is that there is, and what I'm learning is that there is no real destination. And what this journey is, and especially for someone, like I remember I had this awakening moment and I felt, I've made it. I know what life is. I know what life force is. I know I'm awake now. That's it. I'm done. What else is there to do? And in many ways, it's like life just begins at that point. It's like being asleep and all of a sudden being awake is like saying, here, now you're at a starting point where there is no ending. And the journey is really asking, it won't seem like constant just progress, like linearly, like we seem to so want to do in this sort of masculine directed world, to be like, I want to get from this point to that point and just that. But actually, I think both of us, we've spoken into before how cyclical, how feminine actually in many ways this journey is, in that to achieve this mastery of life force, and what does mastery even mean? You know, what does it mean to strive to that ability to hold it in the most uncomfortable moments? I guess that's it, that life keeps handing us more and more and more opportunities to practice and play, and that seems to be what I'm really learning from Every time I get stuck in my story and I think, I'm going nowhere, I'm repeating the same mistakes, I'm blowing up my life over and over again, I suddenly realize, but look how beautiful life is giving me opportunities to practice over and over again, and with such gentleness and care that I don't see it. I don't see it as gentleness and care in that moment, actually. It feels like, oh no, this again, why? But actually, there is such a tenderness with which we're handed life, aren't we? And when we receive it in that way, all of a sudden, it becomes really possible to play.
You've spoken into so many things and so beautifully. I, in fact, love that you coined, I never heard that, but you coined for a moment that word death force. I think that's really interesting. And I had never seen it this way. But yeah, I mean, celebrating that is also very, very interesting of a journey. And I believe a part of us is trying to get back to that nothingness, to the black hole, to the death moment. Even though it's terrifying, as we spoke before. And the balance of these two forces. I mean, I wouldn't say that death is the opposite of life, but there's this moment of, let's say, expansion and contraction, or breathing in or breathing out, that is somehow something that reality is permeated with. And I feel that taking that in, accepting that, and realizing that on a deeper, deeper level is part of our journey. And yeah, and I had this moment when you were saying, okay, in those moments where you just go over the threshold, all of a sudden I'm awake. And there was a deep embodied sense while you spoke it in my system that felt new, which I thank you for. There was this, I mean, I'm speaking already of a few minutes ago, but this shining through on how it is to being completely present and here in the now, and it is very intense and thick right now in my system. I don't even know how to express it differently from what I just realized who are sharing together. And at the same time, shutting a part off and being again, as I was saying before, in the particle state. And so, that is like, it's part of the mastery, having these realizations and having these openings. Even though I was reflecting while you were speaking about the mastery, that goal, it's also goal, you know, striving for the mastery, which is funny that there's this part, like I can speak for myself, but I know many people have, like, yeah, like that's something that I'm looking for, I'm tending to, I'm moving towards. And at the same time, you were speaking about in this creative feminine, which is not the female, but the feminine inside of us that has the sense that there is something different or bigger, let's say, or more or new that wants to come out, some longing that wants to arise. But at the same time, there's not the knowledge of what it is. And this, I think, is what pushes us forward as human beings. Like the attending towards something. And in my experience, that feminine creation is this holding space for that. At the same time, let it arise through our circumstances that somehow give information, give input to what it is that we want to bring out, if it's a project, if it's the next step of our life, if it's an idea, if it's a baby.
Mm.
And then all of a sudden it's like, okay, I'm feeling my motherhood calling inside of me. And so there's this, this teaching. I think it's like how somehow life is teaching us, and life is birthing itself through those teachings, like recognizing how on this plane things work. And leaning into that moment of creation, being it, I'm striving for something, I had this inkling, and I'm now going for that because I want to grasp it almost more without then not like needing to learn to not grasp, because you, until you grasp, you won't get there. And at the same time, this other space that now I see, I almost need to move into this two aspect of two dimensions here in the body, like other space of like the what is moving me, okay, what is moving me, and all of a sudden, by being so drawn to that, new layers of our own life come and unfold and come out. And these different modalities of life, I think, is what we are able to open up to.
Mm.
The more we focus our attention on that life force energy, on that pleasure, on leaning into first our own experiences that we have every day,
mm.
our thoughts and our emotions, and sensing ourselves and finding new ways to come then to understanding how to be more human with others, with ourselves, as a society, as a community.
I think for those, thank you, Jenny. And I want to point out for those, for many listeners who are not watching this on video, but listening to this, that when you spoke, Jenny, you used your body, you followed your body. You really not just referenced it in what you spoke into, but I saw you move. With what was calling you, and I think it's to point to that level of embodiment as one of the again, you know, we get trapped in the masculine feminine goals versus, you know, this nebulous free space, but there is something to this masculine thing of noting somehow the milestones in the nervous system, we're in the embodiment as it happens, that also bring a deep pleasure, you know. And when you said, you know, you're following your body when it suddenly wanted to go somewhere, I saw you move with it, and it brought me so deeply back to my body. And I guess that is the beauty of this work, is that the more embodied and the practice goes on over and over again for our nervous system, the more it creates such an atmosphere that it spreads to those around us, whether we see it or not. And that is the pleasure I really see in this work, how inadvertently we touch the atmospheres that somehow cloud us in the collective, you know, and just bringing each of us this practice in into nervous system attuning, how much that is going to be important for our evolutionary journey. And this is discounting all of the beautiful content of what you just referred to, Jenny. This is just really speaking from an energetic perspective of what moved me in this moment. So thank you.
There's this beautiful practice that comes right up with me now. And maybe many listeners have gone through that practice, but it just comes as a like small anchor. And that can be like a moment of deepening. what is really going on. And it has to do with coming together with a partner. Then in a silent presencing with each other, scanning the own body in the presence of the other person who's also scanning his or her body and sensing and feeling what is alive and vibrant. And then once that has happened and occurred, and the person is more aware of what is going on in the system in the body and how the breath is working and how the posture is and where tensions lie in the body, becoming aware that across from him or her there's this other person sitting, and feeling and sensing how that affects somehow or impacts our own system. And this can also all be done with our eyes closed, with both having their eyes closed and just sensing. We feel the presence of somebody if the person is sitting in front of us and like a few centimeters in front of us. And then once that has happened, both can share. And then what the next step is, closing the eyes again and having one person go and think about something of their life of the previous day or what they need to do, and go into that hot space or the list of groceries that they need to buy the next time they go to the supermarket. So one does that and the other stays in the sensations of a body and continues to scan his own or her own system and just presence what is going on. And then they shift over, and the first person that was going for the groceries starts to sense into his or her body, and the other person goes in for what the mother said the other day, for instance. And there's like a super, super strong actual perception, very much so, of what it feels when the person is not present. When the person is not present in their own system and is somewhere else in their thoughts, the other person feels it in their system. So it's one of those things that is beautiful to experience. You might have heard about it, but if you go in for that and experience, and just for all our listeners, if you have a friend, just it takes 10 minutes basically. And it's super, awakening on how deep we are influenced, as you were speaking into, how deep we're impacting each other and how our nervous system are always trying to co-regulate. But if we are not regulated, we are dysregulating each other basically. And that's my understanding. That's what's happening all the time. But so that is so powerful. When we are making the effort at the beginning to regulating ourselves, we are so bringing that effort into not just for us, but also for those that are around us. Because all of a sudden, if we start to breathe deeper, after a minute, we'll see if we do it consciously, the person next to us will start to relieve some tension or breathe deeper. We cannot be reminded, I see now your deep breaths, even though I'm speaking. And so I'm a little bit more in my words rather than in my breath. So the more I see you, I cannot not have my body move. While I'm witnessing you breathe, I need to breathe deeper. And that's one of the secrets of our human family. We are so much together. And if we can cherish that and learn from that and tap into that, that is how life force energy also works. It works in communion. It is all around us. It's never separated. And perhaps some of our listeners, but I do bring people to swim with dolphins all around the world. And the sense of pod that you have amongst a family of animals, beings that are so connected is strongly affecting us humans when we go and swim with them. So it's their presence, it's many things, but the sense of podness, they're called the pod, it's like a group of dolphins. And there's a conscious field around them that is palpable and that shifts our field of consciousness as human beings right away. And I believe that that's the next level of learning how to interact humanly. And the more we can practice there and stay there and open our curiosity to that and try out the gifts and the awakenings that we receive will be immense.
Yeah, I see this more and more as well in my journey. In the brief moments of complete regulation, how much it can impact the other. And coming into a space in that way, as opposed to being, not present, not feeling anxious or feeling with, just feeling too heavy to be in that presence of that person. How much it changes the energy of that interaction, and every time it's a learning. And I guess it's only moving between the two deeper and deeper, like you said, whether this beautiful practice that you've offered, when it's a safe place, when you do it with another consciously, not coming in when you're already feeling, I'm completely not present, you know. Doing it when we are present, when we are feeling safe, and practicing in those moments, that's key. That's my lesson, you know. The more I can stretch my window of regulation and play in those moments, the better prepared I am for those moments when I'm out of that. It's been already such a beautiful journey in this conversation, Jenny, starting from pleasure and ending with this very deep attunement. I really so deeply thank you for that. You know, I started saying, you know, your wisdom and experience, but I think it goes deeper than that, because I always sensed from you this caring on such a deep level, for me as a human being, but I think it comes from a very transpersonal way of, like, I care, and it's that universal mother in a way that I think you so beautifully tap into. And you've held space for us as the trauma-informed coach at the Institute for Aliveness in that one and a half year journey that so many of us had gone on. And I just wanted to point the listener to the beauty that is Jenny and her offerings to the world. So whether it's the dolphin retreat, or whether, you know, one-on-one bookings that you have made for a few of us, and perhaps you might for others that might feel called to reach out to you, I can leave your email address under in the podcast if that's okay with you. Is there any sort of last word or anything that you would like to speak into as we close part two? But I'm sure there will be many parts with this conversation.
I thank you so much for your words, and I love how you say care, how you recognized something that I tend to start to recognize only later in my path about the care. And I was just reflecting while you were speaking that care comes from cura, and from, and in Italian, it is my mother tongue, or one of my mother tongues, so in German, but it's also cara, and cara means also dear. Way to see something that is dear to me. And so what is arising now in this moment is that, yeah, life is dear to me in its expressions. And I feel that that's something that I mean, I've forgotten that and I get off that, but that's something that I thank for having dearness in my life. I thank, I'm grateful that I have that intimate, that something is near to me, dear to me. And this is you, this is students that that we have, with whom we've journeyed together, and it is, I guess, a sense of wanting to be near and feeling that primal unity, closeness, in the sense of coming together. And in that, there's so many expressions on how life is intimate and dear and near. And when we're intimate, dear, and near, cura comes out. That's how it comes out. Like it's, and then the cura, the healing, the care comes out. And somehow this is already making me well and melt and core. So yeah, just wanted to be shared.
Yeah.
And this brings joy and pleasure.
Oh, there is such joy and pleasure in tears, I have to say.
Yeah.
Especially tears that come from a very deep connection. Mm-hmm. So thank you, Jenny.
Wow. Thank you so much. It is such always coming together with you. Life flows. Life flows. And there's such life flow. Flowing.
And so much more, so much more to come. I'm excited,
yes, yes,
for how it will flow, yes, through us. And yes. I think the listener also to await to see what it is that we create together.
Yes, yes. Thank you so much. It's been a blessing to have you as opening these gates through your deep capacity of inquiry, also deep capacity. And for taking up the helm in bringing vitality through our voices more into the world.
I think the sacred work, when it calls, if there is a year to listen and follow that call, then we're all on the journey we're meant to be on. And in that I feel confident that this podcast, I think my feeling is to really answer the call and hope that whoever's out there listening is getting exactly what they need in this moment to join the collective in this, in these next steps in our journey. So thank you.
100%. How's that episode for you? If you learned from that episode, pay it forward. Leave a 5-star review so others can find this content too. Or join one of our 1-week online fasting retreats, one of our short courses, or enroll in the longer health coach certification program. You can also make personal coaching appointments with our Clean Body team. Whatever you do, don't let this moment pass you by. We send you much love from the TIFA headquarters, and we hope to see you soon. Head to theinstituteofaliveness.com for more info and resources.